give out anyway?
Just the right amount.
Yeah, it's like chumming for sharks, Vince. You throw enough blood and guts in the water, you're bound to catch a great whale.
Okay, except there's gonna be 50 girls at the party who all show up thinking they're your dates.
And what happens when 50 sharks show up looking for their goodies, E?
Feeding frenzy.
That is a pretty good show.
Happy birthday, Adrian Grenier. Jockstrap to Bill Maher, who had him on the other day talking about a project that he's been working on and didn't even bring up the Entourage movie. I'm so mad. I need details. When's it going to be out? The other thing is, my understanding is they're going to pick it up like 4 months after the end of the TV show, as opposed to going back to the beginning, what they should do, and start there. That way they could do two or three Entourage movies, because I can't get enough. Besides, what has any of those guys done? None of those guys have done anything worthwhile since the end of the show. Not even Jeremy Piven, who's a legitimate Hollywood semi-star, I guess, right?
He asked me out once.
We've talked about this before. You have to drop that every time we mention Jeremy.
Pretty big time, what can I say?
Well, that's a big deal. Not as big a deal as having Barrett Salee on your show from Bleacher Report, but kind of a big deal.
And Barrett's pretty gullible. Notice the fact that he added me on there. I'm super influential here, Barrett.
That's not gullible. That's trying to be cooperative so he doesn't draw your ire. Barrett, how are you?
I'm good. I didn't want to get yelled at by Christina, so I had to make amends quickly.
Look, bro, she is a hijacker, and you don't get a lot of terrorists out of Canada, but that's what she does. She hijacks the show. Now she's hijacked my Twitter, and she's hijacking yours as well by trying to make you feel guilty for not including her. So that's just the way she is.
I was feeling a little left out, but I appreciate that, Barrett. Don't feel like you have to do it again, but I appreciated it this one time.
She's the girl.
I didn't know you were going to be there today, so now that I know you'll be there, I will make sure every other week.
She's not here every other week, though. She's only here occasionally.
That is not true. For 6 months, I was here a week, like once or twice a week, and the last 3 weeks, I've been super busy, so I've been gone.
The point is, you may not be on when Barrett's here. You know, she's just the kind of gal, though, Barrett. You know the type.
Hold on. What supersedes being on the air with me, Christina?
Oh my gosh. It's called work. It's called a job. This unfortunately pays millions, but not enough millions.
Here's the thing. She's the kind of kid, and I'm sure you grew up with it, where if things don't go their way, they pack up their skates and their hockey puck and they head home. Typical Canadian. You know what I'm saying?
I love the fact that you called me a kid. I do appreciate that.
Well, compared to me. All right. So Barrett, let's get down to some business.
Yes.
Entourage, greatest show ever or what?
No. It's up there. Definitely, and I agree with you, Justin. The prequel idea to make sure you have multiple different options for sequels to the movie that needs to be done, because honestly, I thought it got stale after a while. The storyline sort of evaporated. So let's recreate it from the beginning. And I think that's a good idea, but unfortunately, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they swapped out Spider-Man, and then they did the exact same story they've already done once with a different Spider-Man in recent history. It's not like Christopher Reeve as Superman, and then like 20 years later they redo it and tell the same story again. No, that's one thing. But like Spider-Man was told with Tobey Maguire like 10 years ago, they give me a new Spider-Man, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're going to redo the exact same Spider-Man with two new people. Nobody will notice. Yeah, we're going to make a bunch of money on it. It'll be great.
Didn't it make billions of dollars, though?
Hey, but wait a minute. This is the same story we did like 5 years ago. Yeah, we'll do it in 3D this time, though. Nobody will catch on.
It's completely different. God. It was like that awful Footloose remake.
Yeah, that was not good, I'm told. I didn't see it. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. I also have not watched, what was the, Red Dawn. I have not seen that one.
Nope.
I have not seen that.
Unfortunately, I did watch the Clash of the Titans remake, and I don't know how you could possibly screw up remaking that movie. A movie with a great story that was begging to be remade, and then they made it worse.
Who was in Clash of the Titans?
Let me tell you what Clash of the Titans is. Clash of the Titans is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's like, look, this is old school technology. All you have to do is take the same great story, find a couple of compelling characters, and whip it up and make it better. What do they do? They made it worse. Impossibly, they made it worse.
Which one are you talking about that was really bad?
Both of those. Willy Wonka was worse, and Clash of the Titans was worse when they remade
it. Who was in Clash of the Titans? Is that the one with Morgan Freeman?
Liam Neeson.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. I heard that was awful.
It was terrible. I couldn't get past his big, shiny coat. Zeus had a big shiny coat, and I couldn't watch the rest of the movie. It was really bizarre.
All right, shall we chat sports?
Fine. Michael Dyer, Auburn guy. What do you think?
For Arkansas?
For whatever. What should happen?
Where do you think he's going to go? What is he going to do?
What's your general perception of him? And again, as Arkansans look at him a certain way because he is from here, you as an Auburn grad, I've got to think but you are, of course, a journalist as well. But, I mean, you got to have some sort of feeling about Michael Dyer one way or the other because of that connection.
Yeah, he's a troubled guy. I don't know if you can believe him on face value that he said he turned his life around. I think most coaches would like to believe him because he's a really good player, and you know, having him on the roster is helpful. You know, I think he's a guy that could certainly benefit Arkansas, benefit anywhere he goes. I mean, he's a really top tier running back when his head's screwed on straight, and even when it's not. I mean, he even admitted that he smoked synthetic marijuana basically throughout the 2011 season. Dude still rushed for 1,100 yards in an offense that was, you know, it was lacked a quarterback and lacked a downfield passing threat. So, you know, he's a good running back. I think if he's, you know, if he's even halfway in game shape, he can be a benefit to wherever he goes, no matter where it is. It's just a matter of if a coach wants to take that risk. And, you know, I think the risk is sort of minimal. You know, we know his track record. We know what he's been through. And even if he's lying and hasn't cleaned up his act, when the season starts and when fall camp starts, it's hard for players to get in trouble. Unless you're Steven Garcia, it's really, really hard to get in trouble just because there's only 24 hours in the day. You're consumed by football. So I think the risk is minimal. If I was Arkansas, I would probably give it a second thought and explore it a little bit. I don't think they will, and I think ultimately he'll end up at a Sun Belt school or a MAC school, and that would drastically turn the tables for the MAC or Sun Belt, you know, conference races, because he's the type of guy that can come in and make not only an immediate impact, he can lead to an immediate championship.
Is there a negative perception of him at Auburn? I mean, is there a lasting negative impression of him, or are they sort of indifferent?
There's a negative impression of him. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things where I think Auburn people recognize, you know, he wasn't the, you know, I wouldn't say they mortgaged the future, because he was a bad egg. He's essentially Maurice Claret, although without the hatchet and the bulletproof vest. You know, he's a bad guy. He tarnished the reputation of the school, but he also helped the school win a national championship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how mad can you be at the guy?
Yeah,
you know, I think the general response is when you bring up Michael Dyer is just conflicted. I think Auburn people just don't really know what to think of him.
Right. I like the word you use. I think troubled is a fair assessment. I don't think he's necessarily a troublemaker. I think he's made some bad decisions, and he's certainly done some things he knows he shouldn't have been doing, and he was involved in some things he shouldn't have been involved in. But I don't think at his core he's a troublemaker. I think he's a guy that was given a lot and had his butt kissed from the time he was a freshman in high school all the way through the time he was a sophomore in college, and then he got himself in enough trouble where he was sort of shunned. But I don't think at his core he's a troublemaker from what I know of him.
We've given so many people breaks. Why wouldn't we give him one?
Yeah, and I don't even think it's a break. I think everybody deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
Plus, here's the other thing, Barrett. He spent the last year cleaning up his act and trying to get himself in, you know, from an academic standpoint in good shape, and from a, you know, from a behavior standpoint to try to do the right things. And, you know, by all accounts, he's done a good job with that. So I would love to see somebody give him a second chance. And something I can say that Brett Bielema can't say is I don't even care about the football part of it. I'd like to see him go to Arkansas just because. I mean, I don't care if he contributes or doesn't contribute. As long as he doesn't get in trouble, it's fine. That's not the ultimate thing to me, because it's going to look totally self-serving if you're a head coach and you bring this guy in. But to me, there is definitely a compelling case to be made that I'm trying to help a kid out who's been doing things right for several months in a row.
Yeah.
Outside of football, has had plenty of time to be distracted by other things, and has chosen to do the right thing, and I'm going to give him a chance to prove himself on the field.
I agree. That's why I think if I'm Arkansas, if I'm Brett Bielema, I explore it seriously. And I think the one key with this, you know, a lot of players will say, you know, I cleaned up my act and blah, 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 and give you a bunch of lip service. Well, you know, the fact that Michael Dyer and Arkansas Baptist actually went out and with his knowledge and with his approval released his grades, I think speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. Because he's not trying to hide anything. He's actively trying to say, hey, look, I'm not, you know, blowing smoke here. I'm doing my work. I'm getting things done in the classroom, and this is how serious I am. I'm going to let you look at my transcript, and you're going to love it. So
okay.
I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, my deal is if he carries the ball 10 times and serves as a scout back in practice, he was a benefit for the school. So, and he's also offered a walk-on. So, oh, by the way, he's a free benefit. So
exactly, and he wouldn't be a 10 carry a game back. He would. You know, I know Jonathan Williams is solid, and Alex Collins is the next second coming, but Michael Dyer would be the starting running back.
Yeah, he would probably be more than 10 carries a year for sure, and probably more like 10 a game minimum. And even if he was only a kick return guy, I mean, whatever. I just think there's a lot of way they can help him. The bottom line is he needs Arkansas a lot more than Arkansas needs him. But like you said, too, he can help anybody, and I don't care who you are.
Yeah. And for him, his ultimate goal is obviously to get the NFL, and at this point, you don't need Arkansas to get to the NFL. You just need a place, and he'll definitely find a place. It's probably not going to be the one he wants, but he'll find somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to end up in the SEC. So the other story was that maybe he was interested in going to Western Kentucky, and the Bobby Petrino Michael Dyer pairing, as if the Bobby Petrino is not going to be watched closely enough. I mean, you want to talk about all kinds of media
Bobby
attention?
Would accept him with open arms? Are you kidding me?
I would think so. He would be able to help for sure at Western, right?
you definitely take some pressure and some eyeballs off Petrino.
Yeah.
Maybe actually a match made in heaven.
Yeah, well, and that's a veteran-laden, not to talk about Western Kentucky as a contender, that's a veteran-laden team, too. You're talking about Western Kentucky. And Michael Dyer in that mix with Petrino, that'd be really, really sketchy, especially since they play Kentucky week one and Tennessee in week two.
That would be interesting. Very interesting. Well, again, you're two guys that are trying to repair your public image, two guys that have been at the highest of highs and now have been humbled in a big, big way, in a very public way, both of them, by their own actions. So it would be kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it'll probably turn out, so we'll see what happens. But the Michael Dyer saga continues. I was, frankly, a little surprised he didn't go the supplemental draft route, but he chose not to. So good for him. What are the other storylines at this point in the year that are grabbing your attention at Bleacher Report?
SEC Media Days this time next week. Yep. The roster just got announced today, and unlike last year, there's going to be a lot of stars. And so, Manziel, Murray, McCarron, Clowney, you name it, they'll all be there. It's going to be a fun event in Hoover next week. And, I think a lot of these players, last year I think they recognized that the star power from the player perspective just wasn't there. And I think the SEC maybe tightened the noose a little bit on the schools and the coaches and said, hey, look, let's make this the circus that it's supposed to be. And